Let's record your name again.
My name is Gerald W. Graves. I reside at 1623 South Genesee Drive in the city of Lansing. Telephone number is 372-9595.
Let's begin with okay, let's go on from there. Good morning. This is our local history room, Voices of Lansing, Oral History Project, October 30th, 1990. Joanne Jaeger interviewing former Mayor Gerald W. Graves. Okay. Well, let's start out with a real basic question before we get wound up in detail. Let's talk about your date and place of birth.
I was born in Alpena, Michigan, July 28, 1923, one of four children in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Good family, a lot of closeness, a lot of good family love and attention, a lot of pride in the family. Mm-hmm. My dad was a stone quarry worker, financially never had anything of great wealth, except he did have a good family and he was good to the children. The key of everything, and he was proud of anything he achieved. That to me is very important in life. Discipline was an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Little things about learning to chop wood and cut wood and other things, fishing with your dad, picking up a Christmas tree out in the woods, the types of things that are missing in today's world, but I think a very important thing about bringing the family together.
Mm-hmm. You went to school in your place of birth, your hometown?
I went to school at the Alpena High School.
Mm-hmm.
And left almost immediately for the United States Merchant Marine Academy on graduation. I was graduated from the academy at age 20, and by 21 I was a lieutenant commander, and by 24 I was the youngest sea captain in the history of the United States. So life has been good along that route, and that's what got me to school. Otherwise, I never would have been able to have an education.
Mm-hmm.
Left that position, attended Michigan State University, and picked up my master's and seven other minors. It became very important towards the future of jobs.
I'm sure, yeah. Well, what brought you to Lansing then?
I was elected to the legislature in 1950, and I had been attending state, and I had two brothers that I was assisting through Michigan State at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And both did very well in life, and a very important part of my life, the fact that I was able financially to assist them.
Mm-hmm. So you came to Lansing, first of all, as a student, and you decided to stay, or you decided to come back and when you would attempted to get a seat in the legislature. You were already familiar with the community.
I'd like to think that when I went in the legislature, it was a different type of group than we have today.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think when I left in 1954 that the legislature went to pot, really, but that's not true.
Politics were different then, you're saying, than they are now?
Politics had a firm commitment, and you have a theory that if you raise the salaries, whether it be Congress or legislative groups or commissions or council, you will get a better level of individual. I don't think the level that was there when I was a member could have been any higher. I don't mean for myself, I'm talking about the people who were members of both sides. You had the head of a large department, the UAW. He had made minor decisions, major decisions. You had the head of a railroad, you had top-notch banker, you had a mixture of farm people who achieved 2,000-4,000 acres of farming, very successful, people who ran businesses, but the key was that they had made small decisions, medium-sized, and big decisions, and many of them found that taxes were very important, the payments in the bill. The gentleman like Edward Carey, the former champion of the UAW, Ed made decisions for his own membership. Today we seem to look at Congress and legislative bodies as being dickering for a position of a higher standing or special interest groups, lobbying groups, and that's the big change that's happened since I was in office. These lobbying groups at all levels have become pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Through campaign contributions and full attendance and so forth.
So you agree with the currently popular theory that it's public or political action groups which really dominate politics now?
Well, if you choose, say, to run for a position in Congress, you're already starting off with an individual who has $2 million, $3 million, $4 million, $6 million in a coffers to run a campaign, and your chances of picking up $250,000 for an important campaign basically doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So the incumbents consistently are going to win,
mm-hmm.
Whether they're excellent or fair or not too good. They basically are going to win because the finances are there to put out their mailings and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So, but you didn't have too difficult a race getting to legislature yourself. You managed, you served.
I spent $600 in the campaign. I beat a gentleman who had been there for a long time. He'd been an office holder at the local level and at the state level a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. Who did you replace?
I replaced Richard Dedman. And he was a fine man. The time came, though, it was time for him to go.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just do not let go of a position. They overstay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the cases. And unfortunately, the Bay City Times carried a headline, Graves Buries Dedman. That was an unfortunate thing because the man was a fine gentleman, except his age had gotten to him. It's great to be a senior citizen, I'm one now, but there's a time in life to cut it out. And he just chose one more term.
Mm-hmm. Clever line writer.
But a derogatory type of thing.
So his name is Dedman, D-E-A-D-M-A-N. Let's move on then. You were in the legislature when you decided to run for mayor. Decided to run for, treasurer.
We had gone down to Washington
mm-hmm.
in the 50s. President Eisenhower was in office. Two gentlemen, one Parker from Detroit, heavy in street work, and a gentleman named Robert Scott Engineering in Alpena, had done a lot of research with a gentleman from the Highway Department on the situation of World War II in Germany and in Europe, basically. They found that the factories in Germany were producing more at the height of the war mm-hmm. and towards the end of the war when the Americans started winning and the Allies started winning
mm-hmm.
than they were at the beginning of the war. Any time during that, they reached a point where their factories were producing just something tremendous. They also found that they couldn't move their manpower equipment and they lacked fuel and so forth. These gentlemen said we need an organization
mm-hmm.
to start pushing for a system of military highways. And President Eisenhower took 31 minutes to make that decision.
Again, decision making, you think
he was a decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get new phones in City Hall for months and months and months. That's the difference of grid studies and fair studies. The military system on highways are a reality today. They're called interstate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I headed with the Highway Department, 83 counties, 400 municipalities and others, the studies of where freeways would go in Michigan, or military system highways, legally called,
mm-hmm.
and gave speeches all around the country, back and forth to Washington an awful lot. But I went on for about seven and a half years. And then I became the city treasurer of Lansing.
Mm-hmm. So you had some background, as you say, in politics, certainly familiarity with the area.
Plus I had some tremendous individuals at Michigan State
mm-hmm.
Dr. Denzel Klein, now deceased, we used to call him Shaky because he was a real nervous individual, but he was a brilliant man. He wrote the textbook for Michigan and the problems. I had the man for a year in local taxation, state taxation, and so forth. A brilliant man. I had a number of them. The former president of state was my economics professor, another individual that was top-notch. Another gentleman just had his name in the paper recently in foreign affairs, brilliant. These are the people that can aid your cause school-wise, and then the individuals like the legislature, the people I met in city government, county government, state government, they all add to your ability to handle something, and I was very fortunate in this.
When you became treasurer, was that an elective job? I don't
That was an appointed job. Willard Bowerman was the mayor at the time. He'd been a member of the legislature for several years. And I was doing the highway studies when he called, and he appointed me as city treasurer. You see the difference here in choosing whether you take one or the other. It came from the fact that I was running to Washington once a month. I was running around the country or in Michigan doing radio TV work at Traverse City on highways, Alpena, Grayling, Gaylord, Detroit. And we had a couple of youngsters at that time. And it was time to say enough of this is enough, and for the good of a family. So to me, that was a beautiful thing that happened. It's like the sunshine coming through.
Yes. Okay, so now you had a job which kept you in town.
Correct.
Mostly.
Long hours, but a very enjoyable situation.
And you were well prepared for that job.
I would like to think I was. We did very well with tax collections, with the public relations aspect, with helping some people out.
What kind of problems did you have?
Well, you get, most people are unaware that in Michigan and in several other states, you tax businesses the same rate you tax property tax on a home. But at the same time, you tax them on, let's take a dentist's office. You tax them every year, twice a year, on the dental chairs, the things he might use in instruments and so forth. You do this in stores. You do this in dress shops, grocery stores, and so forth. If an individual had an office equipment operation, he would sometimes pay tax on the same typewriter four times because that didn't move that fast.
I see.
Or copy machines. They pay that same rate as they do on the general property tax. And one is called the real estate tax. And that's what you pay in your house and property. Then you also have this other tax on businesses. And it's a very detrimental, regressive tax, but it's still in existence and never will change.
You think it's not a good tax, obviously.
I'm not in accord with it. No, I think it's very detrimental to starting businesses, and that's what makes the United States strong. Each one of these, like General Motors, started with nothing. It's a regressive type of thing that does not assist an individual who's taking risk going into business, but because of the tremendous income it brings, millions of dollars annually for Fisher Body Olds, but then it also is from 40 to hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a little business. The income is so great you can never get rid of it because the people who receive the tax are about to see that thing repealed. And unlike a state like Oregon, Oregon has no sales tax. You have $1,400 a year more spent for students in schools. You have an unwelcome sign put up in Oregon. Unless you have talent, they just don't want anybody to come into Oregon. They want school teachers, dental technicians, licensed mechanics, people who've got
skills,
training and a skill. And Oregon is riding high with the industries they have, the high tech, a lot of high tech, with shipping, with forestry and so forth, but they don't have a tremendous amount to pay out, except in schools are the recipients of the good part of it. Fortunately, mm-hmm. education is that's the big part. Mm-hmm. Every school has had its computers now for about 3 years. We're just getting into it in Michigan. Mm-hmm. So with all our taxes, we still have problems. And mm-hmm. I look at another state, it's a different
You tax
situation.
Differently.
Yes.
You tax differently in different ways. Well, so you saw the problems of the taxes here in Lansing. How did it affect Lansing at the time that you were treasurer?
We watched businesses go out. That was the time. That was the period. That, and
that
I became mayor.
Referring to was in the
when I was treasurer in the 60s, and then when I became mayor at the end of, in 69. This was the time when industries were moving to Tennessee, to North Carolina. North Carolina was a sleepy state. Hundreds and hundreds of businesses and industries left the Midwest, went into the southern states, where they had tax breaks for 10 years on new factories going up and so forth, and we never quite gathered it, that we've got a problem there. Mm-hmm. And most people think, well, you tax a business, they deserve it, and not realizing that mm-hmm. when they leave, you've lost the jobs.
Yes.
So North Carolina will be picking up, as a result of these years now, two extra council members because of the great movement of plants that went down there. Mm-hmm. And we will be losing two congressmen. Mm-hmm. Michigan is a pretty stagnant state right now. Mm-hmm. We're not gaining any great population. We're not making any great headway. Mm-hmm. And it does scare me. And we got into the tax abatements through the, when I was mayor, through some efforts of state government. Well, we did a lot of work on it. And to carry that on, a person like Senator Harry DeMaso from Battle Creek was one of the top ones in this, and he pushed abatements for new industries and for new commercial establishments. Well, now we're using them in Lansing, and it's a 50% of what you would pay on your new part mm-hmm. for 10 years. That gives them a chance to get started, get their debt out of the way, and then you tax them the full amount. That's going to add to our future, but we didn't have that for years while other states did, and we were just behind.
Mm-hmm. But we finally got it.
We finally got it.
Well, so you were well prepared by the Office of Treasurer to take over the Office of Mayor. How was the campaign?
We spent $15,000, I think it was. The opposition spent $47,000. Very close race. And had some threats I'd be fired, and knowing the individual wasn't really serious about it, I guess if he'd have won, I would have been fired, but he wasn't going to do it during the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a couple of youngsters. In fact, we had four children then. Mm-hmm. So we had the makings, and this is the start of what most people have missed. The population of communities is getting bigger now, the bigger movements. They're upset with taxes. They want something for the dollar. They'll pay the dollar, but they want $1 or $1.15 worth, not 40 cents or 30 cents worth. Mm-hmm. And that movement was so strong in our campaign that we hit 92% of this community door to door. People out every Saturday. It was beautiful to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't take much in expenditure. It was beautifully done, and I was pleased with the number of people. That's one advantage the city of Lansing has, is people. We have a city of boards, and many cities don't have this.
Boards?
We have a fire board, we have a police board, we have a board of water and light, we have planning board, parks board, public service board. Sometime they get in the way. But not overall. Overall, they provide the high-class intelligence you need mm-hmm. to contribute to a park system or public service. At the time I was mayor, we had one of 22 AAA credit ratings in the United States, and our Board of Water and Light was the only Board of Water and Light with a AAA credit rating. Mm-hmm. So that meant that your bonds or anything you issue were the cheapest mm-hmm. interest rate you could possibly get. Mm-hmm. And the board was strictly made up of people who made great decisions. They gave up time and energy. They lost funds in their law business or in their worked overtime, like the individual at mm-hmm. Oldsmobile had to work overtime because he was giving up the city certain amounts of time for the Board of Water and Light. Mm-hmm. So this is the key of people activity. Mm-hmm. And if you get a person with without the ability to make good decisions, then it can be a detriment. But if you take it on a non-political basis and take the ability of people and you use them in your community for the good of everybody, you just can't beat the situation. Mm-hmm. See, you can be on a council and get your brains kicked out from the general population. Remember the school board or the county commission, they're a little farther away. Uh-huh. But the close ones, like the school board, the city council, whatnot, can get pounded every Monday night or every time they have a meeting. If you've got people with integrity and willingness to stand there and ability, then basically it's going to be done for the good of the community, and that's the key of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you got into the office of mayor. As you say, you had a good campaign, a lot of help, and you were the popular choice, but it was close. What did the office bring with it? What kind of baggage came with the office that you had to inherit?
We inherited in a limited amount of time in office, and we turned it into 90 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Sometime some of the staff would be there on Sunday evening or Saturday evening, but it paid off because we kept a AAA credit rating. When we left 13 years after we took office, not quite 13, but almost 13, the tax rate was about $2.40 less per thousand than when I took office. Mm-hmm. Since I've left, the tax rate's gone up about $6 a thousand. The debt was going down to about $16 a person. It's now about $244 to $264 a person. So it's those extra hours that make a difference. And that's the type of thing we inherited and we accepted. We turned a lot of around. We had good relations with people in Washington, which gave us the money, most of the money for the riverfront. Went down with the president of the community college and redevelopment director. It took about 20 minutes and we got the commitment we would have a riverfront. In the meantime, we'd already had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people at the riverbanks, and there was a bunch of mud and junk taking out used car bodies, taking out old refrigerators, 145 big truckloads of debris the first Saturday was hauled out. And we did that for several years.
All volunteers?
All volunteers, including the National Guard. The governor gave us heavy equipment, heavy cranes and whatnot to pull the car bodies and heavy stuff out of the river. We had people like Councilman Brinke, Councilman Gunther, Councilman Adato, that some didn't show, but some of them did. Bob Fisher, who was attached then to the community college. No, he was attached to the bank. He was president of Michigan National. Mm-hmm. Bob was there in the mud to his knees. We had a hikers, campers group from Ohio came in, about 80 strong. The UAW encouraged their people to hit the banks. We had business people, attorneys, council members. It was beautiful to watch. Mm-hmm. But that gave us someone's of order to the thing, and it also gave people a feeling towards the river. You only have as much water now as you had in Christ's day. When you waste water, then you wasted everything. That's the one thing we need the most, that mm-hmm. clean air. Mm-hmm. These people brought it to the front, and the State Journal and Channel 6 gave it good publicity. And we did it several times after, and then we got the agreement in Washington. About 20 minutes of meetings, what we had done, The head of the Department of Housing and Urban Development then was former governor of Michigan, George Romney. Mm-hmm. And about 20 minutes later, we had our commitment. I came home from Washington, went to the council about 9:30 at night when my plane landed, to give them this good news, and the State Journal just didn't believe it. I guess the story was about maybe 2 inches long this would happen. Well, today it's a reality.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. It's, mm-hmm. it's somebody's conscience was aroused, mm-hmm. and it's just gorgeous. And we got the whole idea, contrary to popular belief, we got the whole idea from a student at community college, now deceased. But he said, if you can do something with that filthy river, he said, I'll turn out 80 to 100, 150 young students, and they did. They turned out about 200. Boy Scouts came. That's the type of thing that made it go. People were interested. Conscience got aroused, and I'm so happy that riverfront. I just feel pleased every day.
Yes, it certainly is a much greater advantage than it used to be.
It's got everything.
Beautiful. Well, there were other things you had to deal with when you got into office, I'm sure. Politics were only part of the picture, maybe?
Politics was a difficult part because we had a city charter at the time that gave responsibility to everybody and anybody. And then in 78, August of 78, the new charter was put on the ballot. Mm-hmm. Now that puts the responsibility squarely for the administration, not with council, the mayor, and everybody else. It puts it squarely in the mayor's office where it belongs, and the legislative aspect goes to the legislative body, the city council. But from 1969 to the time that took effect, mm-hmm. voted on in mid 78, mm-hmm. you had everybody who was trying to be an administrator, and the way the old charter was written, you left escape routes for everybody. Uh-huh. And it's not a good situation. The new charter has got its faults, but it's still the nicest thing that's happened to put the blame where it belongs and the credit where it belongs, and it's a way of operating in a proper manner.
Accountability wise. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
What else did you do while you were mayor?
Oh, we battled the taxes. We had a sound, solid retirement system. Our salaries were decent salaries, not overboard. When I left in 1982, for example, administrative services director was getting $43,600. Now, 8 years later, we are talking about that salary being $70,000 plus, and I went through that almost double in every instance. Mm-hmm. You have to pay those positions. Same time, that means that the people in the underlying offices have to be increased. Mm-hmm. Then the damage comes in the retirement system. So now, and good retirements are decent. That's a fine thing to do. Mm-hmm. But today you have people retiring at $32,000, $34,000, $36,000 a year plus Social Security. And it's making a great strain on the people who pay taxes, mm-hmm. who pay the property tax, the business tax, and it's raised the tax rate. It's given a lot of difficulty to the community.
Yes.
So you'll have to make a choice of what type of salary you're going to pay in retirement, mm-hmm. and it should be a decent one. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the question is, should it be overboard? Mm-hmm. And these are the problems we're facing. Mm-hmm. Every city is in the of any size in that same position, mm-hmm. because it's no longer a service, it's a paywall, great retirement, and it's
not just a fringe benefit anymore,
it's a full-time thing.
Yeah.
And it's creating problems all over the country, and I don't know how cities are going to meet it down the road another 10, 12, 15 years. Mm-hmm. You know, cities are going bankrupt. East St. Louis is bankrupt, been bankrupt for several years. Mm-hmm. Detroit's in trouble, New York City's in trouble, you can go into city after city. Mm-hmm. You don't lower any positions as you increase these salaries. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be a tight rein on it. We don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So the good and the bad are paid the same or in the same levels. Mm-hmm. Makes it difficult. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you were saying to people, I just had a daughter quit the police department. She was a supervisor in the 911 program.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she was completely happy. She finished her degree in criminal justice and was working on a second degree in public administration. She was happy with the salary and whatnot, but she would go to work at 3:30 in the morning and get out at 5:30 the next afternoon.
Oh.
She had 9 days in a row where you worked 14 hours and 10 hours. 6 days in a row you worked 14 hours. Here's where you're trying to tighten up. You're tightening up the wrong approach.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, he said she was leaving. She said, I love you as a senior citizen, and I don't want to be a senior citizen before my time. So at 27 or 28, whenever she was at, she quit effective October 1. She's going to go to Oregon or Oregon State to finish the last two terms of her second degree.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a big choice. And when I was talking to her about it, I said, just don't leave a $40,000 job
mm-hmm.
with a recession on, and I think there's a recession on.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you were 24 years old when you were a sea captain and you quit. And I came back. So I quit. Said, she's correct.
Enough said.
She wants that second degree badly, and I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing it. Sold all her furniture, everything went, and she's out in Oregon because she loves Oregon. I do too, but it's just it's too late for me to move.
Far away. Well, you point up the cyclical nature of the economy and how we, you know, when times are good, we spend, and then when times aren't so good, we're still committed to so many things. You saw some ups and downs in your mayoral terms. What sticks out in your mind as your greatest accomplishment? We've other than the things we've already talked about, what kind of things would you like to be remembered for? Or maybe you'd like to turn that around and say what kinds of things you would like to remember.
The things I remember that I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we put in the curb cuts for senior citizens and handicappers to get up and down the sidewalks instead of dropping down the curbs in crutches or mm-hmm. canes or walkers or wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small thing. But to me, it's a very important thing. I'd like to think the riverfront is the one thing that I enjoy the most. That mm-hmm. is one of the big things to me that leaves good feeling with people, and it's an example. A lot of cities are doing it now, and ours has been in for a long time and being improved all the time. I think the battles we used to have on taxes and spending is now proving that you have to keep it tight because the city has got some financial problems now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can keep the thing tight, that's the key of the thing. And we tried to respond. We told people, if you invite us to something, we may not be there tomorrow, but we'll be there. Within a week or two or three, we will be at your meetings. And
mm-hmm.
we did that. Our mail was on time. We would try within 10 days to have our responses out to the general population. And I think the thing I enjoy now the most is people tell me that. You
mm-hmm.
sent me a letter, 4 days later I had the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And people had to work a long time. Those extra hours on Saturdays, Sundays, some evenings, Tuesday, Wednesday night, sometime we worked till 10:30, 11 o'clock. Those are important things. And we had the one thing that was strong is that we used to battle Sacramento, California, River Falls, Massachusetts, and a couple of cities over having the largest crime decreases. And we had a crime decrease every year except one in the 13 years I was mayor. Every year was another crime decrease.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was the key. And that isn't happening anymore because of the drug problem and other things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's great. We got our new fire equipment, police equipment, they never wanted because that's fire and police are two important programs you need for people. The ambulances. When you need an ambulance, you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are good things, and I was real pleased with it. And I think the one thing I'd be like to be remembered for, that I was a full-time mayor, and gave it everything I could give, and people still tell me that, so I feel good about it.
More than full-time, it sounds like.
Yep.
Double time. Well, you had these problems with taxes. You said that, you know, you have to be so careful that we don't tax business out of business, and we see that happening now anyway. Some of these businesses are losing ground downtown. We, on the other hand, talked about the improvement to the waterfront, the enhancement to downtown that visually and culturally we've seen happen. We've seen some changes in the downtown picture since you've been mayor. Some things maybe that started while you were mayor or even before. If you had to just kind of kick back and roll it all into one description, what would you say the trend was in terms of the character of downtown Lansing?
The trend started years ago, not just here, all over the country. In my city planning, area planning, regional planning courses I used to have, was pointing out the changes. Those classes, time and time again, pointed out the changes that were happening to the Central Business District, that there would be big shopping malls. They weren't there then. Big shopping malls would come in, they would take away a lot of business, that the Central Business District would be the center for courts, general government, for doctors and dentists, attorneys, those professional people who deal with the courts, the main banks, and that's happened. In many cities, we haven't met that change, and it's been happening since 36, 38, 40, and we've kind of missed that. But you can encourage the hotels. We gave them abatement, big abatements. You can encourage them with some beauty, and we've done that downtown. We spent hours and hours on the property underneath the sidewalks and the trees downtown, but it gives it beauty. But sometimes it's also a fault of a business person. I know businesses, time and time again, they open their doors and think they're going to be successful. There's never been a study to say that this is the type of business you need. Never been a feeling that if the business is going well, that you just pack up your bags and leave for 3 months, 2 months, 4 months at a time in the middle of winter. You cannot be an absentee owner in a business. And that has happened a lot. And as a result, some businesses have folded. The city has to do everything it can to assist, but it's also a two-way street where management must do the same thing. And I think every downtown and every city eventually is going to have the same problem we have and other cities have. Parking is, people don't want to walk a block where they park their car at the store. They'll walk three blocks in the mall because they can see the building. They don't even realize that. But they hate to walk. When you tax those businesses the same rate as general property tax, you're asking for trouble. They're old buildings. They need extra care than a new building. They need remodeling. And I have a daughter and her husband who own property downtown. I just went through some of the figures on remodeling of two of his buildings. It just shook me, the amount of money entailed. But he's going to stick it out, I guess, except he's talking about a decent apartments in the second and third level of the buildings. And that might be a good shake for him. See, we don't have much residential property in the downtown area, Central Business District. And you need that. You need big apartment complexes. You need on the fringes where they can walk downtown, where they're right downtown in an area to assist all those merchants. They need food like anybody else. We don't have a grocery store basically of any kind downtown. They need the same things. So you need a lot of property available for people to live. And we have some seniors. We put in senior housing, and we've got government-sponsored housing near the city market. But we need a lot more than that to carry the load of this thing.
Yeah, so you're seeing downtown now more as a business district for the business hours and visitors to the city, whereas the residential areas are served by malls and more scattered commercial areas. And you've indicated that we need to maintain some of that downtown too. But what about your own neighborhood? You stayed in the same neighborhood for a long time.
Years.
It's not far from downtown.
Years and years we've been there.
How long have you lived on Genesee?
8 years, and we lived in the other house for 23, so it's 31, mm-hmm. 31 years in the same neighborhood. Right around the corner. The children all left. We had a four-bedroom house, a colonial with a study. Mm-hmm. And when the children were leaving and going to their own apartments and their own jobs, we had this big house. A little one around the corner came in. My wife's got a little heart problem. This is no stairs to walk. Perfect for her.
Mm-hmm.
The yard is too big for me, but... But I love yard work anyway, so we get a lot done in it.
So you like your old neighborhood?
Yes, we have a lot of young people moving in. That's the key. A lot of young people with two and three youngsters, or one youngster that's 2-3 years old,
mm-hmm.
moving in, and they are doing wonders with their houses. They're maintained. They're eager movers. And this is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Do you see it happening in other neighborhoods too?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Some are letting it go, but not in ours. We're pleased with it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a mixture of people from Fisher Body Oldsmobile to teachers to nurses to business owners. It's beautiful. It's a nice, they get together nicely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good neighborhood.
Good. What did you want to talk about that we haven't covered already?
I would talk about the problems of 911. Very importantly, you get on the phone and you call 911, you get an answer. My daughter's gone. It doesn't matter for her. She's gone, and I hope the day will come. She'll come back to Michigan, but I couldn't. I couldn't slay her for being out in Oregon. It's a beautiful state with it's got waterfalls, it's got the ocean, it's got everything. But the people who are there are still going the 3:30 in the morning to 5:30 in the afternoon shifts. They're going the 9-10 days in a row at 14 hours, 10 hours a day. That's a change that's got to be made. Mm-hmm. I would worry about education in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And we have found money for so many projects in this city and other places, but we haven't found it quite for the total, we're not aware, I guess, the total thing in education, the full commitment, whether it be Michigan State or the Lansing Community College or the general school system. And without people going into chemistry and physics and languages and whatnot, we are going to have, and it's happening all over, they're taking easier courses. They need some home instruction, home direction, plus some counseling, that if they're going to make it in the world, they're going to have to take the hard subjects, some language, and Spanish is an important one, because the future, 25 years down the road, is going to be South America.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be doing a lot of business and a lot of reacting with and to South America. So Spanish should be in as a good language. They need physics and chemistry and all the math they can take. And it's not happening in case after case after case, and that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
The computers are just starting to come in. They should have come in 3 and 4 years ago. But that's one point that bothers me. Whether it be city changes or the population changes for students,
mm-hmm.
That's a very important part of my book. The federal government is another one. That is a, we've had all this fiasco in Washington about big tax increases, fighting and bickering for weeks and weeks and weeks. And In a final analysis, they've raised the budget better than $200 billion. When they talk about cuts and how they're cutting the thing, but they raise the taxes in order to take care of that, plus more, so they cut some old debt around. And people have to get more alarmed than they've been. They've got to get more interested in the basic, important things. Mm-hmm. And we have so much in television. The couch potatoes sit there day, night, mm-hmm. Very little reading out of books, a lot of TV. And all you get, for example, I love TV. There's a limit to it. Mm-hmm. They've got to get interested in their local organizations. I don't care if it's a Lions or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. The Masonic Lodge or the Knights of Columbus, they've got to participate mm-hmm. and contribute and look around them, because there's more than just your home mm-hmm. and the television. There are so many important things to be done in this country, mm-hmm. this city, this county, this area.
We're ready to roll. No, this is great fun. Well, speaking of the domestic scene, what does your wife, her name is Donna?
Donna.
What does your wife think of your career? How would she measure it? And what kind of a partner has she been as you handled the business of the city?
Oh, she was a great participant. She put a lot of time in with the children to make sure they had the right courses in school, encouraged every day, whether they had an assignment or not. She had them study for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Then they could do their playing, their television, and whatnot. But that set the example for each one and made it easier as from the first to the second to the third to the fourth, then we took one in.
So you had five?
We got four and one we took in.
And, a foster child?
No, we didn't formally adopt her. Mm-hmm. And she steered each one to a route in life. So they've all had their college time. They're all doing very well. And I wouldn't want them any different than they are. She ran my campaigns politically. She attended meetings with me. She didn't have to attend, but she's a tremendous individual, and she makes a good impression. Mm-hmm. She gave up oil painting for 20 years. She'd oil painted under instructions at 10, and she sells her paintings from anywhere from $50 to $1,000. Hmm. I'd say as a participant, she was the best. Yeah, she was the best.
Mm-hmm. Good partner.
Excellent. She takes care of the budget. I haven't seen her.
You do the taxes for the city, but she does your own
home. She takes care of the budget. She can tell you what we spent for electricity and water 10 years ago. But I take care of the investments, and I take care of my building coin collections and whatnot. And,
those are your hobbies then, coin
collections? She doesn't complain about the safety deposit boxes that I have, or she accepts all of it. And the day will come when we have to put it all in order. And I want to give each of the children coins and currency. Mm-hmm. It's a great hobby, and it's a, I'm finding from the old days, it'll be a profitable one when it's all sold, too. Mm-hmm. But let's give each of the children, each of the five, possibly 1,000 collector bills and 750 coins, and they do what they want. And then the other 80,000 or whatever is there, someday I've got to get this in order from the safety deposit boxes and then put it into a market in some big auction or whatever it might be.
So coin collecting has been your major pastime, apparently.
That's been a great escape, because you're all alone doing your thing. And Donna can be painting, and I can be, I can bring coins home from the bank and work on them, mm-hmm. or currency. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interesting things in this thing. And it makes for a good situation, and I participate to help out the old policemen and firemen get an increase in their retirement. Mm-hmm. I've been president several times of the Old Timers Baseball Association. This is to help kids in kids' baseball and scholarships. Uh-huh. Old Newsboys, I joined that in 1954 when I joined the Old Timers Baseball, and I'm not as active anymore as I used to be. I still am the old timers. Because that's not standing on the street corner. When you get a little older, you don't want to do that too often. You end up with a bronchial pneumonia or something. But I make some good trips, and I get to Fort Bragg. I get to a few other places. I'll be discharged from World War II within the next 4 to 6 weeks.
What does that mean exactly? You mentioned that once before, too.
Well, I haven't been discharged yet, but it's going to happen now, so...
You had to apply for this discharge?
Oh, yeah, it's time. It's time now. Yeah, it's time. And I've got to...
This is like a retirement from military duty?
Well, I'll have my bonuses and all that. Yeah, that'll be... it's been a... See, I didn't get out of military police down at Fort Gordon, Georgia, till sometime in the 70s. And you learn how the riots start and how the riots can end, and you learn a lot in that field. But it's been going so good. It's been so fantastic with the direction the family's going. Each is doing well. Now, Amy quit her position, and she knows she's going to finish her 2 terms, 30 credits, not quite 2 terms.
Yeah.
She knows she's going to do that. And after that, I'll worry whether she's going to go into some business or join an industry or here or somewhere, Oregon or someplace. They're all doing very well, and I'm pleased with it.
Yeah. You feel very proud of your family, I can tell.
My dad used to say that when a final curtain of life comes down, it's not going to matter whether you have $1 million or 200,000 or 2 new cars, an old junker or no car, 2 or 3 colored televisions or a black and white or no television. So the only thing that's going to matter is what you do for the church you belong to, for the family you got, for the organizations you participated in, for people you know real well, especially the real young and the real old, and for people you don't even know. And that's the key. It's not going to matter whether you wear a gold chain or have a gold watch or all this money. It's not going to matter at all. And I think that's the key, because every one of us is going to pass away. We're going to die. And hopefully we've left 1 or 2 small examples, or we've gotten 2 or 3 young people so indoctrinated in something, they're going to do well. That's about all you can do.
Leave something of yourself for the next generation. Well, how do you feel about today's situation, the city? How do you feel about yourself as a former mayor being called upon to comment on it? You certainly look the part of a distinguished statesman, I'd say. You come in
It's nice to be a senior, to be a senior citizen. So, I never thought I would say that because I didn't want to retire. My wife was one who talked me into it. But we've had some good experiences. We've had good association. And one trip to Taiwan, I sold 7,400 General Motors cars. Now, I couldn't take a penny, couldn't take a cent for that. General Motors didn't believe it at the time it happened, but 7,400 Pontiacs, Oldsmobiles, and whatnot comes to millions of dollars. That was great for our economy. The federal government was happy, General Motors was happy when they finally realized it was going to happen.
You did that while
that's
you were
a great experience. That's
while you
a
were
great.
Mayor?
Yes, that's a great experience. And I still participate in organizations I belonged to before. I still go twice a week to my local church, and I help set up for bingo, sweep floors, clean out the kitchen, disinfect it where food has been served. We have 26 people in that garage crew, we call it. A little coffee break, a lot of nonsense, a lot of serious talk about anything from Saudi Arabia to taxes, to the federal government, to Congress, to And we're talking an ex-school teacher, we're talking the former export-import head of an outfit, a vice president of a bank. Mm-hmm. And these are all contributions. Mm-hmm. But it's a great theory, you know, just get down.
Roll up your sleeves and do your dirty work with the people you enjoy talking to.
I get concerned about the drug situation. I have a youngster in special forces, commonly called the Green Beret. Mm-hmm. His field is South America, Central America. I know the changes that are going on in communications, in following code communications, the working together, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Department of Drugs, the groups that handle drugs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I know Bill's job. Mm-hmm. Then I watch people in Saudi Arabia and I listen to people say, well, we should get out. You couldn't even operate a school without oil. You couldn't run the heaters, you couldn't do anything. We have a problem there of, for once in this world, we have a chance to have some real peace, where you don't have one country taking over another. Russia and the United States seem to be leading that drive now, that for once in the world, we're not going to, and these were two aggressive countries in the past, mm-hmm. we're not going to allow the takeovers of smaller governments or more powerful governments taking over others. And I don't like the opposition within the United States to it, because I think for once we have an opportunity where one country gets battered by another, others will respond. And this mm-hmm. is the greatest response of it, even better than World War II, mm-hmm. that they are coming together as a group, mm-hmm. and unlike the conflicts we've had. But I do get concerned, on the other hand, within the what's happening in society, where mm-hmm. Ma and Pa have got to go down the local pub, or they've got to go bowling twice a week, or they've got to hit the television all the time, or they've got to party a lot. Mm-hmm. This is the time, with all the aspects of big population growth, of news, of drugs, of everything that's going on, where the mother and the father should be participating more and more with the family, and it bothers me to see in many cases it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And we have problems, they can all be resolved. Mm-hmm. We have problems in this city and every other city. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be an easy task, and again, it's going to take the dedication of a lot of people, mm-hmm. forgetting that television is nice. Yeah. But don't overdo it. Give your contribution to, not give somebody $10, but participate in an organization. Really effort. Participate. Mm-hmm. Go out in the corner in the cold and sell your old Newsboys newspaper, or help the kids in baseball, or whatever the field might be. Mm-hmm. Get involved in the school things, the city things, the county things, your own church groups. Just get involved and you can become the happiest person in the world, and your family will be better off for it.
You've always been, I guess, kind of characterized as a family man. You've relied on your family, and you've treated other people as though they were family. And this is what you're advocating for the rest of us now, that we look at our own families as our most precious resource,
that's
and treat each other.
That's all you get. That's all you get.
And you have a good philosophy.
That's all you get is the family when it's all said and done. Then you have your friends and people you know and whatnot, mm-hmm. but the family is the key. Mm-hmm. As my dad used to say, not the car or the television or anything, and I agree with that. That is my philosophy, and I agree with it. Mm-hmm. We don't have any great financial wealth, but we've got a closeness, mm-hmm. and if I could see that in a lot of other families, I would feel so good. I see kids over the house, mm-hmm. four or five at a time, and my wife's good with them. They're looking for attention, and that's what youngsters need. They can get attention in a bad way or a good way. Mm-hmm. If they can be hollered at, spanked, and it's a sad way to get attention. Yes. But they can get attention in the proper manner to the benefit of their future. Mm-hmm. And they won't have to rely on their mothers and dads to help out and carry them through, because they're going to do it on their own and do it well. Mm-hmm. And if I could see this all over, I would be the happiest person in the world if I could die with that feeling.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any more questions to ask you, unless you have some more comments to make. We're, as far as I'm concerned, we've covered the agenda, unless you would like to...
No, we could spend another 3 hours here or more, but I think we've covered as much as we should cover for now, and I enjoyed the opportunity, and I just offer you my thanks.
Well, thank you for coming. I appreciate you taking the time, your obvious effort to be prepared and to be punctual. Appreciate that very much. Okay, it's 12 o'clock, excuse me, it's 11 o'clock noon now. We'll close the interview with Gerald Graves at this time.